From Inner Systems, it's the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. To learn more about this and other episodes, please visit podcast.healthydata.com.
We're here today with Cody Walker, the president of Baptist Health Medical Center in North Little Rock. For those who don't know, Baptist Health Medical Center North Little Rock is a 225-bed tertiary care center, which is one of 12 hospitals in Baptist Health Arkansas Health System, headquartered in Little Rock, Arkansas, which also includes one payer, Baptist Health PACE, and 1,700 providers. Cody, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm good, Jordan. Happy to be here. Thanks for the opportunity.
Sure thing. So we have a number of topics we might cover today. I think there's a big effort right now at Baptist Health to transform Baptist Health Arkansas into a consumer-first approach, specifically interested in focusing on digital front doors. Could you tell our listening audience a little bit about what that means at Baptist Health Arkansas, what brought it about, and when the rubber hits the road, how are we actually making this happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. For us, you know, I think in healthcare, we've really prided ourselves on being a place where patients would choose us no matter what our operations or our tools available, no matter that situation, that they would come to us despite that because of the high-end care that we provide. And really, I mean, you can look over the last several years how other sectors have really transformed the consumer experience. We say consumer because that's what they are. I mean, they're choosing to come to these places, and they're not patients in our mind anymore. These people are researching, they're informed, and they're really driving to a place that gives them the quickest access to high quality care possible. And so for us, we're transforming the way that we have historically looked at that. And we're stepping into really what other sectors are doing and putting a mobile first option there for patients, for consumers, and really becoming you know, a place where they can self-direct their care. And you know, long standing history of patients taking the provider's recommendation of who they should see, and that those things still exist. Don't get me wrong, but patients are obviously very, very informed, and we've got to give them the tools that they can begin self-directing that care. So our goal in the next few months is really to get down to a place where we can allow patients to schedule within 60 seconds or less their primary or their specialty care appointments. We know that there's authorizations that go into that, and there's referrals that have to go into that in some instances, but where we can make those tools available for patients, for consumers, we have to start doing that. I mean, I can order my groceries, and not ever step in the store, from my mobile device, you know, while we're having this call. They'll be delivered on my front door, if I choose that, by the time I get home. We have to take that same general concept and apply it to healthcare. That's what disruptors are doing today, and that are coming into the primary care markets. And so we have to protect that base, but also give patients and consumers what they want, which is the ability to, you know, have care on their device if they don't want to travel. But if they do, also selecting those appointments so that they can see us same day, next day. Without having to darken the door of an urgent care if so they choose that. So that's what we're, you know, on task to do, and we're going to figure it out. So it's not necessarily having patients sign into an EHR platform to make that happen. It's putting it on our website. It's putting it in Google search, because that's where patients and consumers are. How do we get those tools to them at the front so that they don't have to be an existing patient in an EHR to overcome the, you know, the competency in our technology platforms. Let's give them those access points where they already are, which is in Google search.
So it sounds like convenience is king, and you're looking at the total population in the geographies where Baptist Health Arkansas is located and saying these aren't just patients, but these are possible future patients. These are future healthcare consumers, and we have to try to compete with other providers in this market in order to get these consumers business. And is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it is. I think that's a great simplification of it. And I think that we know that, I mean, this is a data podcast. We know the data suggests that consumers are willing to move between providers if self-scheduling is available, if time is sooner than what they're currently being offered with a current provider, that consumers are willing to switch off of those two instances. And so we have to be the best in class on self-scheduling or open scheduling and the time to next appointment. And so that's what we're maniacal about right now, because we have an opportunity to improve in both those buckets. And that's what we're going to do.
You did mention electronic health records. For our listeners, can you remind them what EHR you're working with?
Yeah, we're an Epic shop across all hospitals.
Got it. So Epic has obviously MyChart as a digital front door built into the EHR. And as you mentioned, MyChart is available for current patients, but obviously not for people who aren't in your EHR, don't have a record with your Epic instance. How are you creating a digital front door? How are you incorporating MyChart into your digital front door experience? And what are you doing in addition to your MyChart in order to reach the total population beyond your current patient population?
Yeah, let me just say that like the MyChart platform is an excellent resource for people who know how to use it. It is a competency barrier, though, for those who don't understand that MyChart is how you should access a healthcare system. So if you're an existing patient, you obviously get your results. You get reminders through MyChart once you have entered into a system. And some people have multiple MyChart accounts. And we heard from the UGM meeting this week that some of those things are going to be consolidated, and Epic is doing some really disruptive stuff around around this topic in general, and AI and open scheduling and stuff. So, but the cultural competency around MyChart is not equivalent to Google. And so how do we enter, the user experience by meeting them where they are? And MyChart is one facet of that. We have to be good at our version of MyChart. But while in parallel, getting in front of that cultural competency burden to access MyChart to see somebody about himself, we have to meet them by bringing those tools forward in a place that is tangible to them as they become users in our system to then be, users inside of MyChart. So it's a both and approach for us.
So that's what we are. For a listener right now who may be an executive of a large health system who's charged with doing exactly what you're doing, which is improving the consumer first approach, making sure that patients can get in sooner and it's more convenient and self-scheduling, and they're already using Epic MyChart, what would you advise them? What kind of topics might they need to consider? Are these Google ads? Are you using ZocDoc? Are you paying for Google? Are you incentivizing Google reviews? Is there another app, or maybe there's patients at a competing health system and you have an interoperability platform that pulls those EHRs into yours? What kind of strategies would you advise this person to consider as they're looking to expand their consumer first approach?
Yeah, I think it is SEO optimization. It's taking some of those Google ads. We know right now Google Analytics will tell you some of the most researched topics in the current consumer market is doctor near me, or find care now, or primary care doctor appointment. Those are in the Google Analytics platform. So when patients or consumers are searching those terms, we want to be top of list. And when we're top of list, we're not sourcing MyChart. We're sourcing the easy option, the 60 seconds or less, or the 3 clicks or less version of that will eventually get them into MyChart, but that's not the top of funnel approach. It's get them into Baptist Health, and then get them scheduled through MyChart, but really those first clicks are in front of it.
So just to jump in there, Cody, if I'm a patient in Little Rock today and I type in doctor near me, find care now, or primary care doctor appointment, and let's say something from Baptist Health Arkansas is near the top of the list, and I click on that link,
in the future, it's going to bring you to our website, and you are going to click on the next available appointment for what you're looking for, mm-hmm. denoting whether that is preferential virtual care or an asynchronous e-visit, or, hey, I really just need to see somebody in person. That's my preference. That version of the next available appointment should source to the top of the list. So if it's 11 a.m. tomorrow, mm-hmm. you select it, and that's your appointment now. Subsequent work will happen inside of my chart to get you formally registered and getting the data collected. But that's not the entry point that we want to work people through, is an EHR platform that is cumbersome to new patients. Again, Got existing it. Patients, great, but you walk down the street today, anywhere in this metro or in rural Arkansas, and you say, hey, how do you get access to Baptist Health for a new patient? No one's going to tell you, oh, it's my chart. I mean, like, that is not yeah. the common vernacular. No one's going to know that. So yeah. how do we, I mean, they're going to say, well, I don't know, I'll Google it. I mean, that's the, and when they do, they'll eventually get into my chart, but what we want them to do is to get the easiest couple clicks through the platform that everyone is Googling those. I mean, is using those answers, or you use the platform to get the answers, and that's Google.
Do they need to create a username and password in order to access scheduling, and then, or is there some other identity verification?
Yeah. So down the line, yes, but to get the appointment, we don't want to mm-hmm. create any more burden to that user experience than what is absolutely necessary. So mm-hmm. they're coming to us for the appointment as mm-hmm. soon as possible, self-directed. Mm-hmm. Let's give them that mm-hmm. and then work them through all the other necessary steps that come with our process to verify and to get them registered. But we got to get them, they came to us for an appointment. They came to us, you know, in the same way that I'm going to order from my local grocery store. Mm-hmm. I give you my credit card at the end, but I want, you know, I want it at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and I want milk, bread, meat, yeah. cheese, like, and so, but don't make me give you my credit card at the very beginning where I have to fumble around and find it.
Let's
get what I need when I need it, and then I'll pay you for it.
Is there any concern about adverse selection of uninsured individuals who just want an appointment now and they're going to look for it, but you haven't done insurance verification yet, so they may not be covered in their self-pay, and maybe there's difficulty in collecting on that. Is that just provided as a community benefit, or is there any concern that you're going to increase this?
Those are great questions. And I think for us, a lot of consumers that are searching for these options, we know are patients who are willing to pay cash. And so this isn't going to be a super expensive service, but one that provides that access at a rate that's worth it. Mm-hmm. But the patients and consumers are willing to pay up front for. So maybe not even an insurance product at all. Mm-hmm. You know, if they come to see us in person, that's maybe a different model. But if you and I have a scratchy throat and we want to make sure that we're not coming down with something that's going to ruin a vacation, maybe I want to see a provider, you know, this afternoon, but I'm willing to pay you a nominal fee to do that out of my mm-hmm. pocket, because I got to get this taken care of today.
So I'd like to.
That's what we're going to be putting forward.
I'd like to move to another topic. We have a few topics that we may cover today, but we only have a few more minutes in this episode. So we might. I know you're working on leveraging predictive analytics to improve patient throughput and length of stay, which kind of falls under the umbrella of capacity optimization and increased throughput. Would you mind saying a few words on what you're working on and how you're measuring success?
Yeah, you know, the recent federal legislation, One Big Beautiful Bill, has obviously reached the top of mind of every executive across the country right now. It's been a journey that we've been on, anticipating some of these changes, but also just to know that, you know, increased access saves lives, it improves quality, and it does have a financial value as well. But for us, you know, the demand for our services oftentimes reaches our supply to provide them. And so we've been on a maniacal journey in the last better part of a year, a topic that we call Operation Raptor. And I can get into the specifics of that, but it's really about deleting anything that doesn't provide value within our hospital operations sector. to free up capacity for patients who need us the most when they need us. And so we've been leveraging predictive analytics and a pretty good dose of generative AI to begin forecasting not only day of demand, but next day demand and even a week ahead, so that we can plan staffing appropriately for the demand, so that we can preemptively surge where we know there's going to be capacity constraints. And we're not doing that in a reactive fashion, but getting in front of and planning, what does next Thursday look like? And are we set from a staffing and a bed capacity standpoint to meet that demand? And so we've learned a lot, and we've achieved a pretty decent amount of capacity through that exercise. We freed up more than 30,000 unnecessary wait hours in our ER. Through that operation, we freed up about 10,000 opportunity days and excess length of stay. And looking at our discharge lounges, we free up about 10,000 hours in unnecessary wait time for patients who are leaving to be set in a discharge lounge so that we can decompress the ER. There's several different factors of creating this balloon-like capacity when we need it most. I mean, I liken it to like the Chick-fil-A's or the In-N-Out Burgers, wherever you are in the country. You know, they don't run three lanes of drive-through at 10 in the morning. They run them at 12:30 or in 1 o'clock or, in peak hours, and then they decompress back down. How do we create the equivalent three-lane drive-through in our hospitals by getting in front of that and planning ahead? And that's what we're doing right now, and it's made a big difference.
Now, Cody, I think a lot of our listeners may be saying, look, this sounds awesome. Obviously, it's going to require some investment to get Gen AI predictive analytics capacities in our organization. You know, how do I justify that to the C-suite? Or in other words, have you seen an increase in revenue capture as a result of these efforts?
Yeah, we've seen about a 6% increase in admissions, which back into that, what your payer mix is or what an actual admission brings to your bottom line. And that is more than paid for itself in the investment we made in predictive analytics. And so I think for us, the ROI is there, staying off diversion, improving the volume of transfers coming in. We've been able to say yes to 7% more of our incoming transfers than paid for itself in the investment we made in predictive analytics. And so I think for us, the ROI is there, staying off diversion, improving the volume of transfers coming in. We've been able to say yes to 7% more of our incoming transfers because of freeing up capacity. And then just, there's a lot of other factors, but when it comes down to overall admissions, that math comes to light real quick.
So I feel like the tagline here for Baptist Health Arkansas, at least with this podcast episode, is Baptist Health Arkansas, we're open for business. We'd love to provide you with healthcare.
I like it.
We'd love to treat you.
Billboard down the road, we can flash that on. That's a good idea.
So we're approaching the end of this episode, Cody. We've covered a good deal of ground. We spoke a lot about the consumer-first approach with digital front doors, about expanding a top of funnel to get new patients in the door, not just through existing applications like through Epic, like MyChart, but also by improving search engine optimization on Google and worrying about ID verification registration after the fact, just trying to be a more convenient service that puts patient or potential patients first. And we spoke about predictive analytics and how you've been able to increase revenue capture by essentially orienting your organization as not just an organization that has healthcare providers and provides care when it's needed as a reactive organization, but an organization that's open for business and interested in delivering care when it's needed and how patients desire it. Do you have any kind of closing notes or recommendations that you'd like to say to anyone listening who would like to get their organization to where yours is today? What words of advice do you have for them to help transform an organization into a more consumer-centric organization?
Yeah, that's a great summary and great question. I think for us, or what I would say there is, don't let perfect get in the way of progress. We have to be nimble and flexible around all of the changes that are happening in our sector and not be afraid to try something. You know, some of this is not that you have it all perfectly wrapped up in a bow before you turn it on, but being willing to try something new really allows for us to uncover some of these best practices. And so for us, we're stepping in faith to try to learn the next layer that we don't understand, using data to validate that, build trust with our end users, and then come back to the table and say, what did we learn from that and how do we do it again? So for us, this journey didn't just happen overnight. It's been a, you know, an level of executive urgency and a maniacal approach to fixing it that we've learned along the way a great deal about ourselves and what is keeping us from being the most successful version of that. So get some data if you don't have it. Start trying something. Get back to, I mean, it's kind of that whole scientific theory of just thinking you have a problem, devising a solution, coming back and validating it, adjusting, starting over again. And we keep doing that cycle after cycle. And it's been really revolutionary for our whole healthcare enterprise. And we just continue to do that now in the ambulatory sector moving forward. So don't be afraid to, you know, get your feet wet but come back to the table and be willing to pivot because that's what it's going to take.
Thank you. So I appreciate you joining us today, Cody.
Thank you for having me, and I appreciate the time. It's a ton of fun.
So for those who have been listening, just want to remind you, this is Cody Walker, president of Baptist Health Medical Center in North Little Rock, part of Baptist Health Arkansas. And their message to everyone in the Arkansas region is they're open for business and they're ready to care for you. So thank you again, Cody.
Thank you, Jordan.
From InterSystems, this has been the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. Thank you for listening.